Okay, blessing. I think today is the last year of the semester for. So I'd like to thank everyone for coming. It was very nice. And feel free. First of all, there's next semester. You can come again. And if you're not, you could always feel free to. You know, I'm around, Rez Hashem. So, ever want to have a relationship or anything, please feel free to approach me. And then if you get engaged, if you want to learn chosen classes together, I'd be happy to learn with you. Rez Hashem, it should all be masliach in everything you do. Okay, the last class we decided was going to be on Hilchos Beis Knesses. That was the one... One thing that we still had to figure out what we're going to do with Hilchos Beis Knesses.
Okay.
There is a Tosefta in Bava Metzia that says that there's an obligation to collect money from the members of the community to build a shul. Meaning, even though there could be a nice guy in the community who says, you know, everyone, they can come to my dining room and daven, and, you know, or my basement, and we'll have minyanim. It's not good enough. There is an obligation for there to be a base knesses in the community, that the community should have a base knesses. And the Zohar says that that's part of the mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash. That just like there's a mitzvah of Asuli Mikdash to build a base of Mikdash, so too there is a mitzvah of to build a shul, to have a shul in the community. In other words, again, even though there's somebody that you have a place to daven, but you need a shul. What makes it a shul? A shul means that it's a makom that's miyuchad for tefillah. But your basement, basically, you're using for whatever mundane uses you use it for. And then, you're nice enough to have people come. Like I know in some communities in the suburbs, so the shuls are very far. Shuls are very far, so it's hard to go there. So Shabbos morning, everyone makes the trek. It goes to the shul. But Friday night, people are, you know, not as... So you have, like, I know that you have in Teaneck and West Orange and different communities that someone will offer their basement to have a Friday night minyan. So that's not called Beis Knesses because they're not davening in a place that is set aside only for davening. This is basically a place that's set aside for other things, and you daven there as well. But to have the status of base knesses, it means it's set aside only for daven.
So if someone's basement is only used to daven on Friday night and on Shabbat afternoon, there's a Torah there. There's
right. So theoretically, you can make a base knesses in the house.
That could be considered a base knesset.
Right. But if you're saying we're going to only use it for davening, we're not going to use it for any mundane activities, anything like that. We're going to have this room in the house, so that could be also considered a base knesset. In most cases that we're talking about is people, you know, basically give up their basement, but during the week they'll just, you know, do whatever mundane activities that one would do in a basement.
Obviously, this is talking about, like, if there's a basement with many rooms, there could be one room in the basement, or does it extend to
that? Right, no, that room. That room is the base knesses. Just like in a shul, young Israel of whatever, so the din base knesses only applies to the sanctuary. In other words, the rest of the rooms of the shul are not, doesn't, even though it's in within the ownership of the shul, but it doesn't have the status of a base knesses. So that's the Tosefton of Metzia, the Kofin. We force the people to donate money to have a shul. And as I said, the Zohar says that's part of the mitzvah of Yasuli Mikdash. Okay, so that is the story. Now, we know that there are two types. There's a base knesses. And the base medrash. So base knesses is a place where it's set aside for davening. And the base medrash is set aside for what? Learning. Now, there are, now, the Gemara says that, there's a discussion in the Gemara, we paskin that a base medrash has a higher level of kedusha than a base knesses. So that's why we paskin, you can make a base knesses into a base medrash, but not vice versa. Because Malad Makodesh, they are even. Right, because that's considered lowering the Kedusha.
So what makes it, so that means that you stop learning in there and you just stop in there.
Right. Right. Now what about mezuzah? So basically this is part of mezuzah. Because no one lives there. Now, technically, it really applies to the whole building. Because even though the din based knesses is only the sanctuary, but there are offices and other things, so those don't have a status of based knesses. But Lamaisa, like Rav Abadi pointed out, that they, you know, live there. So then Taka and Mikir din, they wouldn't need mezuzah either. People are knowing to put it up, you know. That became somehow the minute. That the shuls and the side rooms, they all have. I told you, in the yeshiva. So, and in Chara, at first glance, base medrash also shouldn't need a mezuzah, because no one's living there. But the Shach writes that a base medrash, since people are learning there so many hours during the day, so it's ki'ilu people are living there. Now, obviously, this. Let me make this very clear. I remember I grew up in a shul that a big building. A lot of these shuls have big buildings, and unfortunately, not everyone comes during the week. So more people come on Shabbos. So a lot of shuls, they have the main sanctuary for Shabbos, and during the weekdays they daven in another, you know, a smaller area. And a lot of shuls can't call the main build, the main room, the what, the Beis Knesses, and the small room, the base medrash. Now that has no halachic significance. Just because, you know, that's the room that you daven during the week, and maybe you have a mishnayis class between mincha and maariv, you know, during the week, that doesn't give. Base medrash means like a base medrash in a yeshiva, where people are there, you know, throughout the day. That gives it the status of a base medrash. So those, both rooms would have the status of a base kness. It's not a base base medrash. Now, what about eating? So both a base medrash and a base kness, you're not supposed to eat in. People think that a base medrash you're allowed to eat and a base kness you're not. It's really not the case. You're not allowed to eat in either of them. It's just as a din that if you have a base medrash where somebody's learning the whole day and it's going to be bittul Torah for him to go home and eat, so he can eat there also. Because there was all, so it's a special dispensation for the chachamim, the talmideim who are staying there the whole day. But l'chora, one could say that in our situation where you have side rooms, it's not a real bittul Torah, just go to the side room, so it could be it's better to just go to the side room and eat lunch instead of just eating it. Whereas if you're mamish a person like the Vilna Gaon, you can't waste a second, you know. But we're not holding by that. So we could eat in the side room.
What's the reason why you can't eat?
It's not kavodik, yeah.
Obviously, eating or drinking for a mitzvah would be fine. Like if you're like a bris.
Well, most bris, they eat. They don't eat in the sanctuary.
Well, no, I mean, they drink the wine.
Right. So drinking the wine, that's part of the mitzvah. That's not considered but the question is, you have a lot of. It was in a regular young Israel, so usually they're going to have a social hall downstairs where you'll have the meal.
But what you're talking about, what the Rebbe's talking about, is not applying to drinking. I mean, people drinking the base medrash all the time, coffee or whatever. I assume that drinking wouldn't be, as in eating is an action,
So we'll have to see. It's not so simple. So it could be eating and drinking is a problem. Now, so really, technically speaking, in the base medrash, base kinesis, you can't eat, you can't drink, and even sicha b'teila. Sicha b'teila is awesome. What does sicha b'teila mean?
Idle chatter.
Idle chatter. So that means like this, idle chatter. It's nothing to do with Lashon Hara or anything like that. Just, in other words, if you're wrapping up your tefillin and you're speaking to the guy next to you and he's saying, what are you doing today? What's new? How's everything? So that's idle chatter. So technically speaking, that's usur in the base kinesis and the base medrash. Now the minhag is to be makel of that, so we have to understand why. Right? The minhag is to be makel, but technically speaking, idle chatter is also. That would make life very hard. Because, like, everyone in shul, I'm not even talking about the people who are speaking during davening. I'm talking about the people speaking after davening should be a problem. Because it's idle chatter. Sikha b'teilo.
Would a room like 101, would that fall into like any categories? because it's only used for davening, or maybe I can raise both classes.
Right, so Rabbi Kahn gives a shiur there, and it's used for davening. So
it would take on the status of at least one of these. I'll just say that it would be faster than another.
Maybe. So it's.
And also,
so we have to explain what the heter is. What the heter is that we speak in shul. I'm talking about after davening we speak in shul. And what's the heter also sometimes in the shtibel or whatever, they have shal shuris in the base medrash. Right? You've seen that. Shal shuris in the base medrash. In the big shuls, they don't, but saying a lot, they have more on the York site. Someone brings tikkun. You know, some schnapps and cake to have after davening, and they eat it in the shul. So what's the heter for that? You know, what were you saying?
I was saying like even like Reuben, it's like if Reuben's shul, you have a pure off to be able to engage your parties there. So does that not get the status of?
Right. So what's the story with Reuben's shul? People eat there in Reuben's shul. They have meals there. I mean, I've had. So the Shabbos they have parties there, they have so they definitely eat there. So then what's the heter?
But is it considered a basic answer to the Midrash because of other things going on there also?
Right, so Chora, at first glance, it is a basic answer because its main purpose is a shul.
Yeah.
But then how are you allowed to do all these other things?
Yeah.
Oh. So the Gemara says in Megillah, Pate Knesios Shebebovel Al Tanai Hirasuyu. Meaning in Bavel they would build a shul on condition with a stipulation, and the stipulation would be that it would be permitted to use it for other things than just davening. Now, so there's a big machlokas in the poskim whether this din al tnai hinasuyin only helps to use it. You see, there's a halacha even when the shul is no longer in use. I don't mean during the afternoon when the day. I mean the shul closed down. So there's still restrictions of using the shul because you still have to give it its kedusha. So the halacha that you can make a stipulation. Is that only when the shul is in disuse, or even if the shul is in use? That's the machlokas we showed. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the din of tnai is even if the shul, only when the shul is in disuse. That's when the tnai could be used. So that's not good for us. Because then it comes out that all a heterim based on a tnai wouldn't work if the shul was still a functioning shul. So we're up the creek. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva writes an unbelievable thing. What he writes is, that, and only he could say such a thing, he says, Binyan Yisrael is to rely on the Rishonim that say that Tanai works even if the shul is in use, against the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, he legitimizes that Klal Yisrael here follow the minhag to follow those who shown him, even though the Shulchan Aruch pasked not that way. That's what he says. So therefore, he says, that's the heter. So that concept of t'nai is the heter why we speak sikha b'teil and shul. Right? Meaning, again, sikha b'teil just means idle chatter, which is good. You know, you say to your neighbor, you know, how you doing? How's this? How's that? Where are you going for the summer? You know, idle chatter. So we do that in shul, because we rely that the shul was built conditionally to permit things other than davening and learning in the shul. That's what it means, al tanai, conditionally. And against, even though the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's only if the shul is in disuse, Rav Moshe claims we do it even when the shul is in use, and that's why sometimes we eat in shul, in certain shuls. They even have the Shalosh Shudas in the sanctuary, or they have a Kiddush in the sanctuary, etc. And based on this, Rav Moshe takes a stand on a very big issue that caused a lot of controversy in different communities. And in fact, I believe it even went to court, secular court, this issue. Now, what's the issue? The issue is, if there's a blind person in the congregation who has a seeing eye dog, and he wants to come to shul, and he wants his dog to come with him in shul, do we have to allow the dog to come into the shul? Or can we say, we don't want a dog in the shul? And this is a big controversy. And this, you know, a lot of, you know, and I said, I've heard it even went to a different, you know, law of, you know, court on this issue. So Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva to the late Rabbi Teitz of Elizabeth, discussing this inyan, and Rav Moshe paskin that it's okay, because he said that once we say that the shuls are made conditionally, and you could eat and drink and speak sikha b'teila, he feels that having a dog is that same level. So if we permit eating, not drinking, we permit sikha b'teila, so we can permit a dog as well. That's a kiddush. Not everyone agrees. I think everybody has to choose what he's against it. This is a big issue. It's a very sensitive issue. You know, again, there was to let the dog into the sanctuary, because the sanctuary is where the question was.
You happen to know what the result of the court cases were? Or?
I don't know. I'm sure you could do some research, you know, and see what the, you know, the cases were. And, you know, they're famous. A couple of famous court cases, you know, the religious, more than a couple, a lot of famous. There was a famous Yichud Shaila with the ski lift, and a couple, a boy and girl got stuck on a ski lift, and one of them jumped over, and the question of, was it, you know, was it legit to do that? Was it a Shaila of Yichud, not Yichud? The whole case in court. But,
yeah, it was like,
what?
There's a TV show that did a similar situation as a comedy sketch.
Uh-huh. Okay. There you go. So that was Rav Moshe was making on that. But, however, Rav Moshe, even though, again, so this is a chiddush that, you know, I mean, that Rav Moshe says that it's legitimate that we're paskening against the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch, again, paskin by the sheet of Tosfos, that it's only when the shul is in disuse. Now, there is a limitation. In other words, the Gemara says that even if you hold that you can make a Tanai, but it can't be for something that's totally out of character. Because eating and drinking is like, it's not like something done in, you know, really part of the nature of the shul, but it's not total frivolity. In other words, to have like a face, perhaps a carnival, you know, sometimes you have a shul that they want to have a carnival for Purim, so the Sunday before, they'll take out all the chairs and all the thing, and because it's a big room, and they'll make a carnival there. Or, you know, I saw once in a shul in the mountains once that, I don't know, they sell during the week women's pocketbooks or something like that. So it's totally, you know, out of character. So then there, even what? Even a Tanai is not going to help. In other words, a Tanai only helps for the middle of the road things. A Tanai only helps for the middle of the road things, not for things that are... Okay, so that's the limitation. Discussion of getting married in shul. Are you allowed to have a chasana in shul? Meaning the ceremony in shul. So again, we mentioned before that even if you make a tanai in the shul, there's certain things that you can't do in the shul, even if you have a tanai. Certain things that are totally out of character. Like, having a carnival or something like that. Yeah, you can do it. We allow you to speak in shul, idle chat, or even eat maybe, but certainly something totally out of character is not permissible. So there's a discussion, what about having a wedding in the shul? Because Hashem, you all get married, you have to decide, you're going to get married in one of these halls, or you're going to get married in the shul. So, the shul has another aspect to it. That there was a discussion in the postgame, but it's called chukas atum, to get married in shul. The Kuvasei will say later. Meaning that even though the Maril says that they used to get married in shul, right? But once the Goyim started doing it, getting married in church, then it became part of their religious observance. So for us to do it might be forbidden. Again, if the Goyim stop putting on tefillin, we're going to still put on tefillin. Because they can't take away a mitzvah from us. They can't say now it's Goyish practice because they're doing it. No, it's our mitzvah. But something that's not an absolute obligation, it's not a mitzvah. Okay. Like, you can get married anyway. You're never getting married in shul. So now the goyim start doing it. It becomes part of their religious observance. So we have to give it up. And the mocker for that is the Rashi and Chumash. The Rashi says that, what does the pasuk say? Lo sasa l'chom matseva. There's a concept of the Mizbeach and the Matzeva. Mizbeach is an altar that was made up of many stones. Matzeva was an altar made up of one big stone that you would sacrifice on it. So the time of the Avos, they always used to bring Korbanos on Matzeva. But what Rashi writes in Chumash, that since the Goyim started using it for their own, so then we have to give it up. Since the Goyim started using it for their own, we have to give it up. So that's the same discussion of the shul. That since the Goyim started making it religious practice, that they would have their weddings in the church. So it could be that we shouldn't get married in shul. And that's how many Rabbanim hold. In fact, there was a kol kore signed by many, many Rabbanim saying that there should never be a chasana in shul. And in fact, Rav Lifshitz, who used to be Rosh Hashiva here, was very makar. He never go to a wedding in shul. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was considered the radical, and he permitted. He permitted chasanas in shul, which was a big step because historically, especially in Hungary and other places, it was considered a forbidden thing based on the Hukosei Moseleich. So that's why many people are making. But I would say, if you had a choice between the shul and after shul, to pick not the shul. I'm saying it in a nice way. I wouldn't make a big, because when I said Rav Moshe was make on this, so it was make. But, I get a lot of times people ask Shilas about can they get married and they're Reform and they're conservative. This has nothing to do with that. This is just, even in the Orthodox shul, it might be a problem of Bichul Hasei Moshe Lech. Can I tell you? So it became like an accepted thing. Rav Moshe had a big influence in America, and he wrote the tshuva where he was making. But that was, considered a big cool to get married in the shul. It was Chosei Moshe Lech. Okay.
Did
the Moshe
say it's better not to, or
did
you just
say
totally
100%
of that?
It's a good question. In other words, it's a good question. How, to what degree was he, I don't know, it's hard to say. But I would say if you have a choice, But in the time of the Mariel, they did. So the Mari Asad, the Shalos HaTshuvas Yehuda Yale, writes that just because they did in the time of the Mariel doesn't mean that that things can't change. Because you see, like by the Avos, they used to be Makriv on the Matzeva, and then things changed. Okay, then there's another din
called Katan
Darya. Which I think is an alpha. Hey, you have to check it. Kapitani means a shortcut. You can't cut through. The Rambam says both a base kadesh and a base medrash. You can't cut through it to make a shortcut. Right, it's not right, because it's considered disrespect. I mean, the Gemara in Brachas learns it out from the, says it's key, it's similar to your house. So the Gemara in the Brachas has the yisod that anything that you won't do in your house, you can't do in shul. So, with your house, you wouldn't let people use your house as a shortcut. Say they could, come in the front door, go out the back door, and they'll save a whole, going around a block. So you would be too happy if people were just coming. So just like a house, just like in your house, you wouldn't let people use a shortcut. So a shul can't be less than a house. Now, Soloveitchik had this idea, based on this, that he didn't think it was proper for people to wear their rubbers in shul, boots. But just like when you come to your house or somebody else's house, you're wearing rubbers in the winter, what's the first thing you do when you get there? You take them off. You don't start walking around your house or somebody else's house with your rubbers on. So he thought that included in this halacha was... that you shouldn't treat the shul at a lower level than that is not to have the rubbers on. Okay. Let's talk about living on top of a shul. Can you live on top of a shul? Say you... So it's relevant like for people who have shuls in their houses and they live on the top floor. A lot of people lived in the, a lot of rabbonim. Like a shtibo type of thing, a small shul, and they convert the bottom floor into a shul. And the top floor, they live. So is that permissible or not? So that's a whole big discussion in the poskim, whether that's considered improper or not. To live on top of your... to live on top of your house. To live on top of the shul.
What's the issue
in other words, is it considered a lack of covet of the shul that you're living on top of it? So that's a big discussion. I think the Taz writes that he was a rough place and he lived on top of the shul, and someone, I think maybe his daughter, passed away, and he attributes it to that, to living on top of the shul. So the
only if you're directly above is cancer. Not if you have the whole shul, but like you have.
So the discussion is right. Well, the shul could be very long. So the Rambam has a tshuva. He says as long as you're not on top of the Aron Kodesh, then you're okay. As long as you're not on top of the Aron Kodesh, then you're okay. I think Shechter mentioned they talk about it when they made the shul in the morgue. And, in the morgue dormitory, there's a shul on the bottom.
Yeah.
So that was the discussion.
And Reuben
also
But Reuben is the...
Reuben is actually like over the... Like no one actually directed
the top of the... Right, but Morg is... Right. So Shechti mentioned there was a whole discussion about that. No. So the Rambam says that you're, as long as you make sure that you're not on top of the Aron Kodesh, then you're okay. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael and many years ago in Kofetz Chaim in Sanhedrin Mokhevet. So there, at least the way it was then, is the whole yeshiva was in one building. The dorm, the Beis Medrash, you know, everything. So when I came to the Beis Medrash, I saw the Beis Medrash was not symmetrical to the room. Normally, you have a, say, maybe there's a shul, so if we have an Aron Kodesh, we put it, you know, in the middle. We wouldn't put it like off to the side, it would look funny. So naturally, it was like off to the side, and it looked strange. So I was wondering why they sort of explained to me because of the dormitory situation. That's why they wanted to make sure that no one's on top of the Aron Kodesh.
In the case of the Morg Shulam, we say that it's like Dafka of its Midrash or Beis Knesset because there are many other functions that go on there. So, I mean, like living above a shul wouldn't be as much of an extreme because at best it's all Tanai, right?
Right, but still, even though it's all Tanai, it's still a shul. See, the Beralacha has this Kiddush where we want to say it's all Tanai, then maybe it loses the status of being a shul, but the Pashas don't. Al Tanai is still different than just, you know, there's some shuls that for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, they can't fit everyone in the shul. So they have like five different minyanim, right? I'm sure you've seen. Been in these shuls. So a lot of times, like one of the minions will be in the basketball court, right? There's a basketball court in the shul, and that's a good place to have a minion for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because it's a big room, right? So but that doesn't have, that's not a shul. You see, a shul al tanai is still mainly for the function of shul. So you made it tanai because you can do certain other things. Within reason. Right? But here, it's a basketball court. So you can't... It's a basketball court. So therefore, the people who daven in the basketball minion, they're like not davening in shul. Because the inyan of so when they sell the seats for Hashanah Yom Kippur, they should be cheaper, the ones that are, because they, you don't get the mitzvah, you know, the inyan of davening in shul, you don't get. You only get it if you daven in the room that's miyuchad only for davening. Even if they made it tonight, and you also speak sicha b'teila there, but it's still different than the room of the basketball.
And then the kotel tunnel, like in on the inner part of the kotel where you have all the arm, are there people, are there homes on top of it, or is there something on top of it? I don't know.
Are there?
Yeah, I know there's obviously it's a tunnel, so something on top of the tunnel.
Right. I have no clue. I mean, maybe you guys would know better than me. And he's asking what's on top of the tunnel. When you go, you make a left by the kotel.
Yeah.
And you dive in by
the under part where you go in our quarters.
You know, the under part of the. You know, when you go, those minyanim inside there, what's on top of that? That's what he's asking.
It is a first structure.
Isn't that like the airport?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's not the same structure. That's like.
It is something on top of it.
Yeah, but it's not the same, it's not like more.
No, why?
It's not, like,
it's apartments.
The halacha never said that, oh, if you're a different building, then you're front yourself on top of it.
The question then comes in, if it's Arabs living on top of it, what's the status of that?
But I don't think it is Arabs, it's still a Jewish part. It's the, Right when you walk into the where you're like when the pool inside, you go inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still Jewish. It's still
I don't want to say that the same building though. I don't
it's within the matter of the same building.
Well, just a structure on top of the structure.
That's what it sounded like the halacha was.
Yeah. I don't know who lives there. But that's what the rabbi writes. You really have to be matpid not to live on top of the on top of the aron. Okay, what about machitza? What's the name of machitza? So we're knowing that we have a machitza in a shul. Rav Shach has pointed out that that's a din in the shul. Like, in other words, when you're davening, say, in the airport, you're making a minyan. So there are other women around, there's no machitza, so how are we able to daven? So Rav Shach pointed out that this is not a din, the machitza is in the shul. So if you're not in the shul, so then, like, you're in the airport, you're making a minyan there, yeah, it could be okay. That could be okay. But in a shul, that requires, just like the Beis HaMikdash, there was a noshim, it has to be separate. So that's okay. So there's a fundamental machlokes Rav Moshe Feinstein had with the Satmar Rebbe about how tall a machitza has to be in shul. So Rav Moshe's approach was that as long as the genders can't mingle with each other, which he considers of shoulder height, you won't be able to, you can see over, you can see the people, the men can see the women can see the men. But it wouldn't be comfortable. In other words, if I want to have a conversation with you, and we have such a thing as shoulder height between the two of us, and we try to mingle and have a conversation, we probably, one of us would come to the other side. It wouldn't be conducive to have a conversation or to mingle. So that's what Moshe says is is what's necessary. So shoulder height. And the Satmar Rebbe says, no, it's not good enough to have shoulder height. Has to be so you can't see. The men can't see the women, and the women can't see the men. So very simple. So you want to know if the mechitz in the shul is good. The Satmar Rebbe is very simple. Could you see, you can't see. That's why Rav Moshe held that if you have a balcony, so that's perfect. Because a balcony, by definition, you're not going to be mingling. It's the women on top, they're in the bottom, so it would be. It wouldn't be a problem. And the Satmar Rebbe says, no. A balcony that the men can see the women can see the men, is still not good. And Katzin Mechitza is learned out from the Gemara and Mishnah in Sukkah by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Because the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, where was the Simchas? Where was all the singing and dancing in Simchas Beis HaShoeva? Where? In the Ezra's Noshim. That's where the men were. So where were the women? The women were there, the men were there. So they built a balcony for the sukkahs, for the women to be on top. And that's basically the focus of Moshe and the Satmar Rebbe. What did the balcony look like? Based on Rambam and Pesach Shnayim, so the balcony, so that the women couldn't see, or they could see, it's just that they were high up. So of course that's not considered.
It's only if the men, from the Satmar Rebbe, it's only if the men, the women, the women can see the men.
No, I think he writes see either way.
Either way.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you see, a lot of times in other yeshivas, you have a one-way mirror, so that the men can't see the women, the women can still look down to the men. Yes, Shomer wouldn't agree with that either. Okay.
Yeah. That's the shayla of the mechitza. So Rav Shechter said Rav Aaron Kotler said based on the Alkut Shimoni that if you're not in the shul, so as long as you're four amos away, it's not, if you're not in the shul, then you don't need the mechitza. So then what do you need? You still need a separation. So you should be four amos away, because the pasuk says by Chana, Hanofi ha'im shahan ha'nitzav imcha. How do you spell the word imcha? Ayin, mem, chav. What? Chav or chav sofis? That's how you normally spell imcha. But by Chana, you know how it's spelled in Shmuel, imcha? With a hey. So what's the pshat? So the Yavdish Shmuel says, and the Rav Shechter explained that hey means that even though Chana was a woman and she was davening there, you know, in the sanctuary, but she was in the fifth amma, the Rav Shechter explained. She wasn't within the amma of the men. So she was hey, five. The fifth amma. So that's technically what you need. But in the shul or in the mikdash, when there's a formal services going on, or maybe even not formal services, but whatever, so then you need a mechitza. But if you're in the airport, so as long as you're in, you know, you go to the corner and the women are not directly around you, so that would be okay. So that's the, but you know, to have mixed pews, that's even more problematic. To have, you know, mixed seating. See, separate seating is not, you know, it's not something we like either, obviously. So at least they're separate. There's a mile to being separate. You also need a mechitza. You need two things. You need separate a mechitza. So mixed pews is, there was a famous, Rav Soloveitchik had a famous psak that he said it's, you know, better to miss shofar in Rosh Hashanah than to go to, you know, like a conservative temple where there's going to be mixed seating to hear the shofar. That was his famous statement. And then people discuss, I think Rav Lichtenstein and others discuss whether the Rav has still started this Banazah, or did he, you know, there's no other choice, there's the only shofar blowing in town. Or did he only say it in his time, in that situation where it was a real threat? You know, today, it's not so much of a threat. You know, orthodoxy is strong, it's not like we're being threatened by conservatives. So then, maybe... says that the Rabbi Yochanan said that there are old people in Bavel. So they were surprised because the pasuk says, "The ma'ir we make him, we made the nechem al ha'adama." Only in Eretz Yisrael are there supposed to be long life. So how could there be? So he answered because the people in Bavel, they came early to shul and left late, So that's why they lived long, even though they were in Chutz La'aretz. So the Maharsha asked the question, but you still didn't answer the question, because the question was, how can there be old people in Bavel if the Pasuk says, why do you make him, al adama? So the Maharsha explains, based on the Gemara Megillah, that says that Lassid Lava, all the shuls, but they measure Mati Knesios, the Bavel, are going to be uprooted and supplanted in Eretz Yisrael. So Mela, a shul has already some type of connection to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, if you come early and you leave late in shul, so it's like the b'china of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, you get a riches yamim also by being in shul and chutz la'aretz. The Svarim write that the sukkah also is like having being inside of a sukkah in chutz la'aretz also has some, you know, notion of kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Now there's a discussion. This is a very interesting discussion. Whether the Ezra's Nashim is considered part of the Kedushas based Knesset or not. Maybe only the men's section, not the women's section. And that's the opinion of the Chachmas Adam, written by the Chayyad. Only the men's section has Kedushas based Knesset, not the women's section. We'll see in a second. And that's why the whole discussion, you know, a lot of times you go to shul on Friday, so the women usually are not there Friday night or whatever. So then, and men come late, so they end up davening in the women's section. Every shul has a whole bunch of men in the women's section on Friday night. So there's a discussion, most can have, that maybe if the men daven there, then it's not considered they daven in shul, if they're in the women's section. Now, why should this be so? So the Mother of Rav discusses that perhaps we discuss the whole idea of based medrash and based knesses is a place that is set aside for davening and learning. But it could be that it's only if it's shal rabbi. Say I have a room in my house that I only use for learning. So does that mean that has a din of base knesses, a base medrash? It could be that a base medrash is only if it's for what? For public, for tzibur. So some want to say, you think of C. Pace Frank has in the sefer, that women are not part of a tzibur, not part of the minyan. Right? So maybe it wouldn't be considered what? Right. Because it's not part of the tzibur. Now they say no. But if it's right adjacent to where the men are, so then the women are connected. If they would just have a room just for women to daven, then they're dynamic. But if it's part of the, so they're still part of the tzibur, and therefore there would be they would have a din of kedushas based knesses as well, even in the women's section. So you have to see who you're speaking to before you discuss this topic. As I told you, Bismarck Hazal Mercer's Psachim, that people used to live in the shul. Meaning the Shamus. All shuls used to have a person called a Shamus. In the modern day shuls, we did away with that position. The Shamus usually was the Balkorei, and he was in charge of buying the Lovim and the Esrogim, and when someone had Yortzeit, he would make sure they got a Yortzeit card in the mail. You know, that was the Shabbos. And the rabbi was the Rav, you know. There used to be three different positions. There was a Shabbos, there was a Rav, and a Chazan. There were three different positions. I grew up the shul. Three different people. Each one had a different rabbi in the shul, and the Chazan in the shul, and the Shabbos in the shul. And today, those shuls don't have a Chazan. They don't have a Shabbos. So they only have the rabbi. Still have a president. That's a different thing. But a shul is, that's the union of a shul. Kiyum of Asuli Mikdash, that the Zohar says. And the Gemara says, hey, the Pasuk, hey, Mikdash Maat, Elu Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos. That it's a Mikdash Maat. It's not a full Kedusha, but it's a Mikdash Maat. And we said that all the shuls are going to go eventually to Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas Beis Knesses and Kedushas Beis Medrash, but Beis Medrash is higher. But that's what Magen Rabbah, I believe, discusses. What if the Beis Medrash is Shal Yachid? Then that might not have a din of Beis Medrash. Because Beis Medrash, the definition, perhaps is only if it's the Beis Medrash of the community. Where there's a tzibur of people learning there.
But before you said you can live on top of a Beis Knesset, you can be on top of it, you can live on top of it, right?
Right.
You can like walk on top of it.
Right. There's also then the base measure supposed to be the highest building in the area. I think in Cambry Avenue, Rosh Hashiva was macro on that, if I'm not mistaken. In Manhattan, it's hard to be macro on that.
Well, also, just in general, because the church is always in the many, I know in the older times, the Christian belief that you meet at the church is the highest building.
We did a lot of nice topics, you know, this semester. But we started with what, Nida, and then Mezuzah, and then Brachas, Kashrus, and what did we do last week? We did Yichud, Mikvah, Hanukkah. Nice topics. So, Rabosha, it's good to spend, it was very nice spending time with you. As I said, please, maybe just go through the list so we should, I should just, Achir Adam Edizium, David Belolo, Jason Bloom Zium, Alexander Szczesbuski, Yitzchak Frankel, Daniel Green, David Green, Jonathan Hagler, Daniel Kalush, Seth Neer, Jacob Nukoviv, Novikov, that's good. Zachary Pomerantz, Jeffrey Rattenberg, Kevin Schoenfeld, Nissan Shai Tenpro, Douglas Shore, Ari Manis. Okay, everyone, so it's a pleasure, and Pleasure Shem should teach.